As not even General McAuliffe knew the destination of the 101st as yet, obviously Colonel Sink could not brief Captain Winters, who thus could not brief Lieutenant Dyke. All anyone knew was that the Germans had blasted a big hole in the line, that American forces were in full retreat, that someone had to plug the gap, and that the someone was the Airborne Corps. Weather precluded an airdrop, and in any case it was doubtful if enough C-47s could have gathered quickly enough to meet the need. Instead, the Transportation Corps, acting with utmost dispatch, gathered in its trucks from throughout France, but especially in the area between Le Havre and Paris. MPs stopped the trucks, services of supply forces unloaded them, and the drivers, many of whom had already been long on the road and badly needed some rest, were told to get to Camp Mourmelon without pausing for anything. The process began as darkness fell on December 17th. By 0900 on December 18th, the first trucks and trailers began arriving in Mourmelon. The last of the 380 trucks needed for the movement of the 11,000 men of the 101st arrived at the camp at 1720. By 2000, the last man was outloaded. Just before Easy moved out, Malarkey went into a panic. He remembered he had $3,600 in his money belt. He asked Lieutenant Compton for help. Compton put him in touch with a division fiscal officer who said he would deposit the money, but if he did, Malarkey could not get at it until he was discharged. That was fine with Malarkey. He handed over the money and took the receipt. He climbed into his trailer with the happy thought that after the war, he could return to the University of Oregon and not have to wash dishes to pay his way. "We were packed in like sardines," Private Freeman remembered. Captain Winters used a different image. "You were just like an animal in there. You were just packed into that trailer like a cattle car." As the trucks pulled out, Carson thought about the football practice he had been anticipating with relish, contrasted it with his actual situation, and began singing "What a Difference a Day Makes." The trucks had no benches, and damn little in the way of springs. Every curve sent men crashing around. Every bump bounced them up into the air. It was hard on the kidneys. Relief came only when the trucks stopped to close up the convoy, and on the legs. The trucks drove with lights blazing until they reached the Belgium border, a calculated risk taken for the sake of speed. As the truck-borne troopers were on the road, 8th Corps Command decided where to use them.